Yes, David.
We just might maybe make sure that Jan hasn't called into the previous meeting.
I'll jump over to that, Luke, okay? Hi, Luke, I'm back. She's definitely not in the other meeting. Do you want me to try ringing her mobile?
I can try if you like. I'll just be 2-6.
Okay.
It looks like we've got most of our first part of the public gallery logged in, and it's past 2 o'clock now. Our chairman's here, and I think the best part
I've
of our panel.
Jan, you've got Jan in now. She just went back to the conference meeting. It's all rush.
Okay, and I think we've got our whole panel here now. Okay. So just before the meeting formally kicks off, hi everyone, my name's Luke Murtis. I'm one of Council's Town Planning Managers. Thanks for attending today's meeting. In a moment, the Chairman, David Lloyd, will formally open the meeting, but just before that happens, I have a couple of administration type things that I just need to say. So usually council staff play a very limited role in these meetings because the panel is independent to the council. This is still the case, but because of these the current circumstances that we're in, you might notice that me and other council staff assist a bit more directly with the administration of the meeting. This is because we're using council's infrastructure to deliver and record the meeting, and we're sort of all learning as we go. So it's very important that we make sure these meetings are recorded properly. For that to happen, we need your help too. So we need to ask that everyone who's in attendance observes a standard of behaviour, which is probably fairly similar to our old face-to-face meetings. With that in mind, I'd like to give everyone the following suggestions for the way they conduct themselves during the meeting and some tips. So it's a recorded public meeting. Be mindful of your choice of words. And if you're on a video screen, make sure you're wearing appropriate clothing, or make sure you're wearing clothing full stop. Try not to talk over other people. Keep it to one person at a time if you can, and mute your microphone when you finish speaking. Staff can mute people's microphones, but we don't want to do that to limit people's participation. Be patient and respectful, including visually, so no sort of pulling faces at people while they're speaking or anything like that. Try and minimize background disturbance like noise from kids in the house or animals, pets and things like that, or if you're listening to the thing through a phone, try not to be logged into it through your phone and through your laptop or something like that, because that'll give an echo. Make sure you've got a good stable phone or Wi-Fi reception, and just remember the most important part is the audio, so don't stress too much about the video, because sometimes we found that will play up. And some people find that it's easier just to phone in to the phone link in the invite rather than try and dial in through Skype, because we have had some trouble with that in the past. So some tips, if you don't want people to be able to see your phone number, just set your phone onto private. The last few seconds after you log out, it may look like you've logged out of the Skype call, but it may be audible what you say. So just be careful what you say about the panel or about the other people that were in on the call. That's about it. So I'll hand over to the panel now. The staff can assist with technical things like sharing plans and logging in and out and those sort of things. What I've just mentioned aren't formal meeting rules, but the chairman will mention those as necessary and enforce them as necessary in the meeting. And please follow the chairman's directions while you're participating. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for that, Luke. My name is David Lloyd. I chair the meeting. And this being a public meeting, it is usual for me, on behalf of the council, to acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. It's also usual for, I understand that members of the public are online, it's also usual, therefore, for us to introduce ourselves as panel members. As I said, I'm David Lloyd. I chair not only this panel, but a number of other panels. I'm a lawyer. I'm a QC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court. I'm a former judge of the acting judge of the Supreme Court. And I'm presently a professor of law at Western Sydney University. Mr. Johnson.
Hello, my name is David Johnson. I'm a environmental scientist. I've been an environmental consultant for most of my career. I've also had spent 6 years on the Independent Planning Commission, formerly the Planning Assessment Commission, and am a former acting commissioner in the Land and Environment Court, and also a part-time lecturer in environmental science at one of the universities in Sydney.
Ms. Morrell.
Jan Morrell. I'm a town planner of some 40 odd years. My last full-time job was with the Land and Environment Court as a commissioner for 14 years, and I sit and chair a number of panels in the Sydney region. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Roach.
Introduction.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Kath Roach from Sing Solutions. I work a lot across a number of local councils in New South Wales. Previously, I've held roles in the Federal Police. I was the Ombudsman at Sutherland Shire Council for 5 years. I was Executive Director of Housing New South Wales, looking after their Governance Regulation Division for a few years. Sync Solutions is my company. I work across a lot of local councils in New South Wales on various panels and in committees. On this particular committee, on the local planning panel, I'm here as the community representative. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I should advise that the panel is independent of the council. Its members do not represent any particular interest. Its members are impartial, experts in their own fields, and they are independent and detached from the political process. They act impartially and dispassionately to achieve the best outcome. So with that, we can move on to the next item, is declarations of interest. I'm not sure that there are any declarations of interest.
No declarations from me, Mr. Chair. Kath Roach.
No conflicts, Jan Morrell.
Thank you.
Nothing from me. That's David Johnson.
All right, so there are no declarations of interest, so we can proceed straight on to the agenda. Item one, which is the proposed adaptive reuse of an existing warehouse building at 158 to 160 Salisbury Road, Camperdown, for conversion into residential development, together with 21 car spaces. I can advise that the panel members have inspected the site of this development individually, and we are familiar with what is proposed. I understand that there is a number of people, members of the public, who wish to address the panel. I should advise that the protocol which governs these meetings states that that members of the public may address the panel for up to 3 minutes. So we will now hand over to those members of the public who wish to speak. In speaking, please announce your name and address, and you can then speak for up to 3 minutes. Who would like to go first?
I'm happy to go first, Mr. Chairman. My name is Bianca Bates and I live at 2A Eaton Street, directly across the road. I've reviewed the response and there's just two issues that I would like to talk to. First is parking. And the only issue that I can see that has been addressed is the number of car spots in the development itself. There's been nothing to satisfy myself or the local residents around parking constraints that will occur as a result of the construction, and that's namely where skip bins will be parked permanently, taking up spots, as well as the builders who are attending. The parking on the street is currently unmetered and used a lot by the University of Sydney and RPA. So we would be looking at having both metered parking as well as restricted parking and skip bin use during the period of construction. The second point that I would like to raise is in relation to privacy, and it's clear from your report that there are two areas that haven't actually been satisfied by you as yet. In the table on page 18 of your report, it says part 2.6 and 2.7, no, so they haven't been compliant. So we would be pressing for compliance for those two issues. And that's it from me.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Bates. Who do we have next?
Can I just ask a question, Chair?
Oh, yes,
Jan,
please.
Morrell, yes. Could you just, the privacy again, just what, just the specifics on that, please.
Well, we raised a number of issues in relation to visual privacy as well as acoustic privacy in the notices that both I sent as well as my husband, Mark Quigley, and your report hasn't addressed how each of these issues will be dealt with. In fact, your report says that there is no compliance for acoustic and visual privacy as well as solar access and overshadowing. So I'm looking for pressing, I guess, for those to be found compliant before you would allow this to proceed.
I suppose my question is directed more at how it does it impact on you.
Okay, so we've got a two-storey house and on both of the levels are windows where we can currently see the warehouse. Your report says that there's big trees that are sitting in front of our house that block. And in fact, every single window that you look out, there is no blockage by those trees. So the trees do not address any of the privacy issues. And so we're looking for some further action there.
Can I just clarify, you're number 8 Ross Street, which I've got 2 on my map on page 5, so I'll count down for 6. So you're quite a few doors down opposite.
No, I'm 2A Eaton Street, or the street address is 8 Ross Street, but I'm actually directly opposite. So I'm not a few houses down, I'm directly opposite the warehouse.
Right, okay. Okay, right, yes, okay, thank you.
You're on the corner of Eaton Street and Ross Street then, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Yes, so the side of your house is along Ross Street.
That's right. And your report says that the trees are going to be sufficient to fix the privacy issue, and the trees are just completely inadequate. They're very tall, skinny trees, and they don't provide any privacy from a number of bedrooms as well as our living area.
Right. Thank you.
Mrs. Bates is referring to page 20 of the report that's in front of your panel.
Thank you. And can I just ask Council, what is the separation? It's got a street there that separates the property. So what's the separation distance there? You can take it on notice.
So are you asking me to answer that question?
No, I'm not asking you. I'm asking the council officer.
Got it, right.
Thank you. Yep.
Yes, I'll try and work that out for you, panel.
Thank you. Great.
All right. Thank you for that. Who would like to speak next?
I'll speak. My name is Mary Thompson. Hello, Mr. Chairman. I live at 43 Ross Street, which is one of the townhouses immediately at the back of the proposed development. And my townhouse is on Ross Street itself. So my two concerns, three concerns, and I agree with Bianca regarding the parking, that is currently quite a nightmare in our street. So that hasn't been addressed yet, so I agree with her regarding the fact that, you know, something needs to be done about that. My main concern is the entrance at the garage, the gate that's proposed, that will be right next to my house. And it says on the report that it will be 8 metres from Ross Street. And I was just wondering, where will that 8 metres be measured from? Like, is it the middle of the road? Is it the pavement? Is it flush to the building? That's one concern. And the other thing, can we get some sort of guarantee that they will use the, you know, quietest garage door that's available on the market? And then my last concern is concerning something that's written on page 30 of the report that talks about recommended dilapidation reports be prepared for adjoining building. And I was just wondering where you're at with that.
Yeah. All right. Is that all we used to say?
Yes. Thank you. I think that will do for now.
All right. Before you go, I'll ask the panel members if they have any questions. Any questions?
No, I'd just like to comment that there would be a construction management plan required in the conditions, but we'll double check that. But I'm sure that would be the case for in terms of parking in the area. Thank you.
I should say that in relation to your comment about the entrance, the 8 metres you referred to is the door to the car park, which is recessed 8 metres to within the property. I think that's...
But within the property itself?
Within the property. It's 8 metres within the property itself.
Okay, thank you.
That's where the door is for the underground car park.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And part of the building cantilevers over that to provide a further attenuation for noise.
And regarding the type of gate that they're going to use?
Sorry, what was that?
The actual... parking, the gate that they're going to use, can we have some sort of guarantee that they will, you know, use the most modern, quietest one?
We'll put that question to the applicant.